Dresden Opera, Leipziger Opera, og de har hver deres opera. I Dresden, der har man Semperoperaen, som er en genopbygning af en historisk bygning, men går man ind i Leipzig, så har man en fuldstændig ny bygning, til trods for, at den i virkeligheden genspejler en historie, som går langt længere tilbage. Jeg står sammen med hr. Tobias Wolf, som er direktør for operaen her i Leipzig. Vi har brugt den næsten deutschreden.
We can speak English.
I'm quite sure that quite many of the listeners appreciate that. That is part of it. If you come to Leipzig, you are in some sort of a very international environment, and of course you're speaking English here too. I'm not sure whether you're speaking English on the Tribune, but
sometimes
you do. Fantastic. What I say is that the Dresden Oper, it is basically an old opera which has been rebuilt after the war. Here in Leipzig, that is totally different, but it is also a very, very old opera house, so to say.
Absolutely. Our tradition goes back to 1693, so Leipzig is one of the oldest bourgeois citizen opera houses in Europe, and it's still a city theater, so with exclusively city funding.
But it is not the same building. A lot of things has happened. We have had a war, and a lot of things has happened before the war, too. Yeah. And this building, when I look at it from outside, it looks as if it is a DDR building, so to say.
It is the only DDR building, actually. So it's the only theater built in DDR times, and it's got all these emblems and pictures outside which have this socialist spirit, which makes it very special, because Walter Ulbricht, who comes from Leipzig, was head of state, he said, I want a new opera house for this town, although one could have reconstructed the old opera house. In the rest of the GDR, one has reconstructed most of the old opera houses. But the tradition goes back to 1693. We had different houses in different places. And the special thing about Opera Leipzig is that we have two houses, actually. So there's one house for the opera, for the serious opera and the ballet. And we've got one entertaining theater for musical and operetta. So that's very special also.
So that is two different buildings. Are we talking about buildings or houses?
Houses, we've got even more. We've also got two workshop houses and a lot of storage space. So it's, you know, we're kind of all over the place.
I think you also need it. As far as I know, you are 700 people working there every day. And that is a huge staff to have, actually. But that is also because you're producing a lot of the things yourself. The scenery, for example.
So we've got a big choir, of course, because it's a big stage. We've got, you know, two ballet companies, one for each house, two choirs, one for each house, and we've got big workshops with, you know, with tailors, with carpenters, with costume painters, with shoemakers and everything. So it's all here, and we actually preserve this art of making costumes and making set designs, because we think it's part of our tradition and it needs to be preserved. So this is why we have so many people.
Does it mean that you basically are able to do all the scenery all year round? You're doing in total 240 of them, and you can do it with just your own staff, or do you rent somebody around the world?
Well, concerning the costumes and the set designs, we produce them all by ourselves, and not only for us, but also for the other theatres in town. So my colleague from the Schauspielhaus, he kind of buys the set designs, costumes from our workshops. We do have guests when it comes to artists. So, you know, if we've got a big tenor role or big soprano role, of course we're also hiring artists, but we also have permanently employed singers for most of the parts we're doing.
But I think this is also because you have a big audience in your own town, of course, but also a very big international audience, actually.
It depends, you know, what kind of performance you're visiting, because we've got things such as a baby concert, or we've got on also participatory programs for patients with dementia. And so that's, of course, a total local audience. But when we've got the big festivals for dance, for Wagner coming up, the Lotzing Festival, we have got people, of course, from all over Germany, all over Europe who come to visit our performances.
You said the word baby concerts.
Yeah.
I mean, they are starting very early here, developing the new actors, as far as I understand. But youth means a lot for you.
Absolutely. So this is why we're actually starting with baby concerts. So it's, you know, it's a little bit for both. One, for the baby to get in contact with classical music and opera very early on, but also for the parents, because, I mean, they have got a need for culture, and it's very hard with a crying baby to go to any other performance. So they're actually very much appreciating that. So youth is a big issue. We've got a lot of theater clubs. So we've got clubs for younger kids, for older kids who make their own music theater performances. We've got a huge kids choir with over 200 children who get a music education here at the house and who are actually performing in, of course, Carmen, La Bohème and Otello, but also doing their own projects. So we try to, you know, to educate the audience of tomorrow.
Are you also cooperating with the local schools around?
Of course, local schools are coming to our house. We've also got productions which go to schools. There's, for example, one dance production, which is called Adna is the New Kid. So I've got one pupil who's new, and actually the school class doesn't know anything about it. So there's suddenly this new kid, and she starts dancing, and she's very clumsy. And you can actually see, do the others help her? And then there's a big discussion afterwards, like, when you were new in the class, did kids help you? And it's beautiful production. So we go to schools, schools come to us, and we also have some bigger projects where we get school classes. For example, in 2022, we had a big performance on the square in front of the Opera House where we had several schools coming together for a big theatrical performance.
I know you have started in this job just a few years ago. I think it was 22 or something. Yeah. And you're starting, of course, you have an established organization. Mm-hmm. What is the challenge to go into such a job? Now I'm asking you personally, because, I mean, it must be a very huge challenge, because I know cooperating with actors are not always a very easy thing, because they are very individual and they want to expose themselves in some way.
Well, you know, the biggest challenge I encountered was actually kind of accommodating a speed in all the departments. Because if we're talking about sustainability, that was a new topic which we brought in. We had some departments who actually said, yeah, that's what we always wanted and we're starting through and, you know, we're kind of going for it. And you've got other departments said, what's that supposed to mean? And, you know,
you're not
driving
electric.
Why do we have to do that? Why would we have to do that? And, you know, you can't have the ones run ahead and the other ones just being dragged behind. So actually tuning the speed of change, I think, is the biggest issue in such an organization.
You're not driving electric auto on the stage?
We do sometimes, actually. But most of our cars are actually without an engine altogether. So we've got to push them by hand. So that's very, very sustainable.
I think so. That is in really the content of sustainability, I think. When we're looking into the future, where is the development going? Where do you see it in your eyes, as long as you're in the job at least?
Well, you know, you can look at that in on different levels. Concerning content and concerning repertoire, there will be, you know, new pieces with new topics, with new plots. So we can see that at the Metropolitan Opera. They're playing mainly contemporary pieces these days because they say it's closer to the reality of people. So because if you look at something like Orpheus and Eurydice, you know, that's kind of Greek mythology. It's very far away. And they're playing pieces like Malcolm X or something like that, where you can actually say the stories are much closer to the audience. And I think this is a development which will reach us in Europe also, that the new productions of new operas will be with stories that are much, much closer to the audience these days. We can see also a development concerning the structural things that in former days you said, you know, art first and people somewhere behind. And now we've got a lot of discussions how to reconcile family and job for artists, because of course they're working in the evening, they're rehearsing during the day. So when do you actually see your family? And those are topics which were not at all on the list for a long time. And so on a structured level, I think that working hours, how the work is structured in the opera house, that's a big topic. Of course, we're facing the same topics as society, which is diversity, which is sustainability, which is digitalization, so technical development, where we can actually see that you've got transmissions and you've got projections on stage. So there's always a question, do you still need a carpenter to build something when you can actually project it? And there we've got a very clear message, because we say actually building sets and making costumes is an art too, which needs to be preserved. That's the discussions we have, actually.
You are working on many different platforms, so to say. I think I'm running out of questions right now. Not because I don't have a lot of questions, but you are so impressive when you talk about things. And I would thank you very much for the opportunity to speak with you. And I hope that my English didn't destroy everything. I think you are much better in English than I am. So
of course, I hope, you know, everyone is coming to visit our house, because it's much more exciting to be here and actually experience this opera house.
That is one of the that is one of the ideas about this program, to inspire people to go down here and have experiences like, for example, visiting your opera house. Thank you very much.
Thank you.